Since the 1960s, the U.S. has seen a number of African-American athletes who've been willing to express their political views, and often those views were considered out of the mainstream or controversial. Those include Muhammad Ali and Olympic medalist John Carlos and Tommy Smith. And much more recently, we've seen Colin Kaepernick's refusal to stand for the national anthem cost him a job in the National Football League. Howard Bryant of ESPN The Magazine writes about those athletes and the broader societal impact in his new book, Heritage, Black Athletes, A Divided America, and the Politics of Racism. And he's with me via Skype. Howard, first of all, how big has the story of Colin Kaepernick become? And where does it fit in with the history of African-American athletes speaking out or sending a message with their activism?
Well, certainly in the NFL, it has had an enormous effect and certainly a chilling effect when you base the reaction of the league and to some degree the public as well on what future athletes may, future football players may choose to do in terms of activism. It's very, very different than what we've seen in the NBA, where the players have, for the most part, been encouraged to use their platform and use their voice, and the coaches as well. When you look at Greg Popovich or Stan Van Gundy or Steve Kerr in the NBA. But in football, the message has been very clear. Colin Kaepernick has not worked since he began his protest. Eric Reid has not begun to resume his career after taking a knee for consecutive seasons. And so the message has been sent in the National Football League that not only is the league willing to deny you employment for taking a political stance or taking this political stance, but also based on what the Players Coalition negotiated with the owners, that the players aren't going to support you either. And to me, what's really important about this is not so much a political issue, but it's also a labor issue. If the players are not going to support their own, the guys who wear the uniform, who fight with them against the owners, then this is much, much bigger than a political issue.
So let's talk about why it is somehow not acceptable, it seems, for athletes to speak their mind a lot on politics. Why have we gotten into this, once again, this renewed feeling of shut up and play? A lot of fans say that.
Well, one of the things about the Heritage, about doing this book that I really wanted to get to, was this notion that stick to sports was never an option for Black athletes in the first place. It's a myth. In the area where there's truth to it, it's in that it was in a very long dormancy. There was a 40-year dormancy between O.J. Simpson, Michael Jordan, and Tiger Woods, where Black players were reluctant to speak up. But the history of the Black athlete, whether it's been in support of the United States in fighting World War II, or in support of the United States in fighting communism, or whether it's in support of African Americans in the civil rights movement, African American players have always been vocal. I think what you're seeing today is because of that dormancy in all those years, people aren't accustomed to seeing athletes speak again. And then I think there's also one other thing, the idea that players are there to entertain, that money is the currency in the United States. Money gives you the type of power where you can be mayor, you can be president. If you have money, people listen to you. People listen to Mark Cuban because he's rich. People listen to Oprah Winfrey because she's rich. She's suddenly a potential presidential candidate. But when it comes to athletes, we want them to be quiet. We want them to be grateful because deep down, I don't think we have enough professional respect for what they do. And on this subject, Stephen, on this subject especially, the players should be talking because we're talking about African Americans in communities where these athletes are from and their relationship with the police. They know more about this subject than we do.
What's your perspective on the sort of the rewriting history aspect of it? Thinking of people like Jackie Robinson and Muhammad Ali, who are now, it seems by a great percentage of Americans, considered to be great and fantastic. And I imagine in their time, that was absolutely not the case. What do you make of that now, where it's, we can embrace Muhammad Ali, we can embrace Jackie Robinson, but Colin Kaepernick still gives people agita or heartburn?
Well, the dynamic is that we're hypocrites, or they're hypocrites, and Muhammad Ali and Jackie Robinson are dead. They're safe. It's easy. They were vindicated by history. I think the interesting thing about it, especially in the case of those two legends, is that you are on the wrong side of history if you criticize them today. And I think that people in time will do the same thing with Colin Kaepernick. But how can you criticize Muhammad Ali's criticism of Vietnam when we found out how that turned out? He was vindicated. He was correct. And then also, I think he turned into a legend because he couldn't talk. He had Parkinson's, and people were, they were sympathetic toward him. And I think on top of that, he hadn't he had become a citizen of the world. You couldn't criticize Muhammad Ali because you would have been wrong in a lot of ways. So I think that the greatness, I think it's one thing, it's time, sure, but I think the greatness of their arguments, the fact that they did come out on the right side of history, made it very, very difficult to come back and say, well, you know, on second thought, I don't agree with where they turned out. It just doesn't work that way.
How is this political activism, justified or not, going to affect how people see professional athletes, professional sports? You know, we've already seen this thing with President Trump going after Colin Kaepernick and the impact. Did that affect NFL ratings? Did it not? Do you see it being a bigger dividing line on this, where we're going to see politics even more obviously put into our sports and our games?
You cannot separate the athlete from 9/11. 9/11 is the demarcating line. It's the defining moment of our history in the past 20 years, no question about it. And so, whereas when I was a kid, it was the Cold War. That was what we were all afraid of growing up. That shaped our culture and shaped our politics. And today it's 9/11. And so to me, what I find fascinating about this is the collision of 9/11 and all of a sudden, you know, the post-Ferguson black athlete reviving his political positions. Is that in 9/11, during 9/11, and I was in New York when that happened, when it occurred, it felt like it was the right thing to do. We were scared. We were mourning. We were sad. I remember being at Yankee Stadium in 2001 when the Yankees and the Diamondbacks were playing in the World Series. And during the playoffs, everyone looked at each other and they needed that comfort, that reassurance. Being at the ballpark was, for a very short time, it was a unifying experience because of what had happened. And now today, because of the paid commercialism, because of the John McCain and Jeff Flake report that exposed that a lot of these supposedly organic displays are staged because of President Trump doing what he did, because Colin Kaepernick did what he did, because Eric Reid did what he did, all of a sudden, the patriotism at the ballpark that was supposed to be unifying is now very much, as you said, it's very much dividing, and I don't see it changing anytime soon. Especially when you're sanctioning players for simply disagreeing. That's all they're doing.
Howard Bryant of ESPN, the magazine. His new book is The Heritage, Black Athletes, A Divided America, and the Politics of Patriotism. You can also hear him most Saturdays on Weekend Edition with Scott Simon. Howard, thanks so much.
My pleasure. Thank you.